Good morning. Critically important day today in the NFL. Trade deadline at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
We're going to get to it later this hour. Expectations for Brad Holmes. We've got Dan Campbell at 8:02. You heard Falar reference him in the update. You also heard Chris mention the Pistons. Did you hear what he said? Their third win. It took them till nearly New Year's last season. They've done it through just 8 games this season. John, some would say, don't let the Pistons get hot.
Well, don't look now. If the season were to end today, they would be in the play-in tournament. They would be in a play-in game. They're above the cut line. All they got to do is hold serve.
Okay. All right.
Hopefully above 500 means you're above the cut line. But right now, 3-4, 3-5, get you in.
You guys on the 35-win bus? Well, like, you're going to make it 42 tomorrow, probably.
That's right. One-upsmanship.
Right.
It's a good quality.
Yeah. 36.
Everybody loves a one-upper. It took them 32 games to win 3 a year ago. Think about that. 32 games before they won their third basketball game. This season, 3 wins after 8 games. And you might be thinking, they beat the Lakers. Like, LeBron didn't play, right?
Oh, no, he played.
Anthony Davis didn't play, right? He played. He almost scored 40 points.
Did Bronny start?
Well, that was the difference. They didn't have Bronny.
I was listening to the game last night, and I heard Champion say, I wonder what Jim Costa thinks now.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah, I heard that. So it's funny because the useless knowledge that you have, we came in this morning, we're talking about Lions, we're talking about trade, we're talking about some of the college teams, and then we briefly mention, hey, the Pistons won last night.
Hey.
And you asked the question, when was it that they got their third win last year? And I was wrong because I said it was December 31st. I knew
it was December 30th. Whatever, same range.
It like total useless knowledge. In 2023, when did they get their first or their third win?
When they snapped that 28 game losing streak. Yeah,
that you would automatically pull out the very last opportunity during that calendar year. Useless knowledge that just pops up every once in a while.
So what do we make of this? They're better than last year. Cool. I think Cade Cunningham, triple-double, always good to see. Jaden Ivey seems to coexist with Cade. Yeah. Both of them playing well, both averaging 20 points per game. Both are shooting well to start the season. Like, it's almost like a coach came in and found a way to accentuate what they do. And there's still a long way to go for both of them. But this idea that you had to pick or they couldn't work together, I'm very much interested to see if J.B. Bickerstaff can get the most out of these guys.
Well, and you look at, at the high score in each game. It's either Cunningham or Ivy. This is the third time Ivy's been the leading scorer. Mm-hmm. The rest of the time it's been Cade. But that's what you've got to have from the two guys that you think are, if they can find a way to coexist, a part of the Phoenix rising from the ashes.
When they drafted Ivy, the vision, I remember we were talking about this at the time, everybody loved the Jaden Ivy pick, was that they brought two different tempos, right? Ivy is someone who has that extra gear downhill
can
burst.
Fly.
And Cade's more methodical, a little more of an old man game, right? He can get you in the middle, in the mid-range, and then get to the cup or pop and shoot. And they bring a different tempo. And can you throw teams fastballs and changeups? Keep defenses off balance, where one guy can be the lead guard while the other sits on the bench, or you can play them together and put defenses in a tough spot. It's incumbent on coaching to unlock them. And again, only 8 games in. I don't want to take a victory lap on J.B. Bickerstaff. But it's clear they have a better outlook this season than a year ago.
Does Doug still have his 3-game bet going this year? Last year it was, will they win 3 games in a row? And they never did.
They're one away.
They're one away from a 3-game heater.
They've won 3 of the last 4. And yeah, Charlotte's winnable, sure.
Yeah. We'll see. Wednesday night.
Yeah, again, I don't know what to do with them because it's so early. But I do think we were of the belief they would take a step this season. I just don't know how big a step it is. Like, John, after seeing a few games now to start the season,
well,
where is the target for you this season?
Like, win-loss total?
Yeah.
Okay, you're throwing a dart.
Give me a range. Like, we were 25 before the season started?
Was it 14 yet last year? I'll say, okay, instead of doubling it, I'll go nice round number 30.
Sure.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I was going to say that, too.
I didn't think we thought they'd win 30 games before the season, and I think they're at least showing tendencies that they might. Is that anything to, like, go Crazy no. about 30-52 is not a great record, but considering the where this team is.
Yeah.
I mean, Cade's playing better. His career numbers are up in the eight games this year, pretty much across the board, scoring more than three points more than his career average. Three-point percentage is up 3-4%. Mm-hmm. It's tiny sample size, but at least they're I feel a little bit better about them than I do the Red Wings right now.
But here's the other thing. Well, it's a little more encouraging because you're seeing something. You're seeing them improve, right? It's
dog crap.
Even though it's eight games, you started out 0-4, and what the common theme in all four of those is you couldn't finish in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
Now you lead through the entire game and you find a way to finish against that. Okay, it's an aging Lakers team, but it's still. They've got a lot of talent. So does that mean they got it all figured out? No, it doesn't mean they've got it all figured out. But three wins in the last four games following an 0-4 start, at least here's what you like. Last year, you started out 2-1, and it was downhill from there. And there was never any moment where you thought, okay, they're getting it. Now at least you feel like for 30 wins, if that's getting it for this year, then you kind of feel like they at least they drew a line in the sand.
I just say the common theme early in their wins is the turnovers are down.
Yeah.
And it was simple. I was listening to one of their losses and heard Mark Champion say, we've got to stop turning the ball over. It's pretty,
he's right.
Pretty simple. 12 turnovers last night. That's the recipe for them to win. When it gets into 16, 17 plus, that's when they look like they did last year.
And I think Cade's turnovers are up. But it really is a couple really ugly games. Like, he only had three yesterday, and he had 11 assists. Like, more of that is what's going to drive this team to, I'm going to use a word, competency. I felt like last year they were incompetent. They had a head coach who was running all bench lineups, who was starting Killian Hayes, who had banished Jaden Ivey to the bench. I mean, guys, we forget about it. Competency is, I'm going to set my good young players up for success. Yeah. I'm going to put some shooting around them. It's not always great. Like, Tobias Harris got to get going a little bit, but Tim Hardaway Jr. has been a reliable three-point shooter. We're going to do this. We're going to play a couple shooters around our couple guards, and we're going to have a competent coaching approach. And it hasn't meant that they're, you know, a great team, but 3-5, maybe challenge for 30 wins, maybe provide a bit of a foundation here, not be a laughing stock,
right?
Which would be a step for this organization.
Well, and will competency just get you to 30 wins?
Could be.
And does a competent coaching staff, and that kind of highlights how bad things were last year, does that just get you a handful of wins?
Sure, it could be 5-7 extra wins just on that alone. Then the player development's another 4 or 5 wins added on top, and you start finding your way up to respectability. Last night, you also had the Monday Night Football game. Mm. Stayed up for that, and I thought the same thing that Troy Aikman thought. For those that didn't stay
up.
Yep. Listen, you're Tampa. You score. You're in the final 30 seconds. Could have bled it all the way down. But anyway, you score in under a minute to go. You go for two. Because exactly what happened is your fear. You tie the game up. You kick the extra point. You go to overtime. And too much is weighted on the flip of a coin. What was Baker Mayfield's reaction as soon as they lost
As soon as he lost, because he was mad too, because I think he's the one that called it.
Yeah.
And loses the coin toss, knowing that Patrick Mahomes is standing right in front of him, and they're handing him the ball, and defense, hey, good luck, go and stop Patrick Mahomes in overtime. He had the sigh, eye roll, and look of disgust all at the same time. And you know, this morning on all the sports stations, they slow-mo'd it. So it looked like it was a long, painful sigh, which it was.
And Mahomes and the Chiefs
did Mahomes things.
They stay undefeated.
Yep.
Even if you're not overly impressed with them, it is impressive that they continue to win every single football game.
Well, they hit the trade market, and who scored two touchdowns last night?
D-Hop.
Mm.
Amazing how that works. His second game since the trade. A little extra time with a Monday night. Get him integrated. Get him up to speed.
Yeah.
And he was a go-to option for Patrick Mahomes. It also helped, I think, Travis Kelce, too. And suddenly the offense starts to have a little more giddy up. And if you're a Lions fan today, you're going, wait, hold on. We got to match that urgency. They're the two-time defending Super Bowl champions, and they're giving up picks for a pass rusher in Uche, who had a couple tackles. And no sacks. And a receiver in Hopkins, who had two touchdowns, including the decisive touchdowns in that football game. So if we're sitting here today, that's the question. Do you care as much as Kansas City? Is Brad Holmes as invested in winning a Super Bowl as the Kansas City Chiefs? That's the gauntlet that's thrown already, down in front of him.
Who've already won, too.
Right. That you would think they are the team that could kick their feet up and go, if we win, we win. If we lose, we lose. We can't mortgage the future. We're already... But they're making at least some moves, and the Lions have to hold serve. Well, that is the team you're chasing.
They had an injury to their offense, and it was Rashee Rice, who's out for the season.
Yep.
Their number one target for Patrick Mahomes. So... they go and they replace him. The Lions, Aiden Hutchinson, their best player on defense, and I know you could argue Brian Branch and all that stuff, but yeah, their most impactful, most important player on defense, down. And there's still plenty of time. They have till 4 o'clock today. But do you trust that they're going to do something? That they do, like you said, care as much as the Kansas City Chiefs?
Ideally care more than Kansas City. We'll talk about it at 6:50, the expectations on trade deadline day in the NFL, a 4 p.m. deadline for Brad Holmes and the Lions. Tonight is also the debut of the college football playoff rankings. We get the first taste of how the committee views these teams this season. We'll get Greg Hargrave's rankings coming up at 6:35, his top 12 teams. It's 97.1.
Hey, when it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, First Merchants Bank is 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants bankers are attentive. When you meet them, they're going to ask you questions and find out how they can best fit or build a financial plan to fit your situation. And as the relationship continues to grow, you do more things. They're going to be there for you every step of the way. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of a 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Mark Champion on the call. Pistons win last night, pick up their third win of the year. Took him till December 30th last season. Cade Cunningham with a triple-double. Jaden Ivey led the way, 26 points. No fourth-quarter blunders, a fourth-quarter finish for the Pistons. And watching that game, do you see this, John? David Montgomery, he was at the game. They had Kirby Joseph. The Lions were in attendance, some of them anyway, watching that Pistons game. And afterwards, Greg Kelser said, I know the Lakers bring everybody out. And Montgomery said, I want to clarify. We're here to watch Pistons. Which is, hey, solidarity for the city. I don't feel like the city's ever been this connected with all the sports teams. Whether it's, you know, Dan Campbell rooting for the Tigers, A.J. Hinch going to Lions games, right? We know that there's a lot of continuity right now. Everybody's pulling in the same direction right now. I've never seen it like this.
No, it's awesome to be able to see. I mean, because Wings games, right? They got the Jared Goff chant.
Yep.
We've seen J-Mo there, and now it's the Pistons. We even, you know, the relationship between the Tigers, A.J. Hinch and Jared Goff, like all of the different things that the Lions are a part of and trying to make, you know, the commingling of pro sports teams. Well, it makes it fun.
Well, they started the winning and they started the connection. Dan Campbell voiced like an intro video for the Red Wings this season, and then we know Lalonde loves him some Dan Campbell. Yeah, it's been cool to see. We have some ticket texts coming in. This one says, refreshing to get some positive Pistons talk. Hey, winning will do that. Another one says, the only thing I can't get over is how mad Monty Williams was. He robbed us of Caden Ivey for a year of learning with those BS lineups he was throwing out. That's Steve in Holly. Some ticket texts on the deadline. It's today. It's 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
Texter says, cookies, that was a stupid question you asked.
Oh, what was that?
Yeah, people are never shy about it on the ticket text. Says, it's a dumb question. The organization set the Super Bowl or bust mindset. Of course, Brad Holmes cares as much as Kansas City. Every report has shown Brad is making calls. To that, I would say, action. Action is what's going to matter today. I don't want to hear that you tried. Kansas City tried and got players. Hopkins caught 2 touchdowns. Do you care as much as Kansas City? We will find out not by reports, but by actions today.
Well, we also heard from Dan yesterday when he was talking to reporters about it takes two.
Wasn't an excuse for Kansas City.
No. But here's where I bring it up in terms of context. It does take two. We've talked about that, right? They've called and it's been, It's been leaked that they called the Raiders. Mm-hmm. All right. Obviously, it takes two in that sense where they just don't want to trade Max Crosby. And I get it. We wouldn't want to trade Aiden Hutchinson, no matter what the circumstance. So, you know, then you look and you say, well, okay, why haven't they been able to get something done with Cleveland to this point? I mean, we saw Za'Darius Smith. He was all decked out in blue going to his own game. And we've heard his comments about, you know, hey, he'd be just fine going to Detroit. It does take two, but you've got to be willing to pay the price. And if teams are looking at it going, yeah, you know what, we would take a fifth, but we want your fourth because we think it might be the last pick of the fourth round. Or we want your third, which the Lions don't have, because your fourth is, again, going to be the last pick of the fourth round.
Yeah.
That's where you've got to try and find other compensation. And if it's more than other teams would be forced to pay, so be it.
Yeah, and I think teams are probably using it against Brad Holmes in negotiations that he does have a Super Bowl mandate, self-imposed, that he does have a team that needs a pass rusher. I'm not telling you.
Yeah, but
the game of poker is going to be harder for him, but at the end of the day is, even if he has to overpay by 10% or 20%, he's going to have to do it.
But let's not set us up to be so special, because Kansas City, like, they've got a Super Bowl mandate too.
Yes.
And they were able to get it done with D-Hop. They were able to get it done with Uche. And so, you know, it's not like everybody doesn't want the Lions to win a Super Bowl, so we're going to hold our pass rushers and trade them to everyone else.
Right, because in the case of Cleveland, the deadline is the deadline for them too. They will never get as much for Za'Darius Smith as they can get this year. He'll be an expiring next year. He'll be a year older next year. They are not making the playoffs this season. A deal should get done today. We'll talk more about it coming up at 6:50 tonight. You've got the college football playoff rankings coming out. We'll get to that coming up at 6:35. You have this thing called the election. Go out and vote. That's wrapping up tonight. No more political ads. I'm sure we're all excited for that part of things. And if you're interested, you got a big football game tonight. CMU Chippewas and Bowling Green Falcons if you need a distraction.
Oh, Scotty Loeffler.
That's right.
Where's that game at? Is that in... Is that south of the border, or is that mid-state?
Oh, that is at a raucous, loud Kelly Short Stadium in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, where there will be dozens
of
happy
Chippewas. I'm glad you said where it was, because I don't know the name of the stadium. you could have said Kelly Short Stadium, and I thought, is that Bowling Green Stadium?
John, I'm pulling for your teammate.
I appreciate it. Oh, because you just want a change.
I need a change,
yes,
John.
Yes, well, vote for change.
Vote for change.
Today's the day you cast your ballot.
For what you want this country to be. All right, let's get to the news with Heather.
All right, so Jason Kelce was back on the ESPN set on Monday, but it wasn't all business as usual. He opened up Monday Night Countdown with an apology for his part in that incident involving that unruly fan over the weekend.
I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. Very understandable what he did. And here's the thing is, it's really hard, especially if you are recently removed from playing the game of football, where if there is a problem, you're able to deal with it in that manner. And that's the thing about leaving the game is that's the only place you can get to do it.
Mm-hmm. What I took out of it is he's human. He lost his cool. He recognizes his faults. Total respect for that.
Yep. Police were called to Sashabaugh Middle School in Clarkston on Monday after a threatening text message was sent to 911 from inside the building. So the message said a friend of somebody at the school had an AK-49 inside the building. So the middle school, as well as another elementary school, North Sashabaugh Elementary, was ordered to shelter in place out of an abundance of caution. Authorities investigated and they quickly identified the person who sent the message, determined there was no threat at all. The shelter-in-place order was lifted. School went on as scheduled. The incident still does remain under investigation, and officials haven't said whether this student may face any charges or not. I'm guessing something. I mean, they're definitely going to face some sort of punishment.
Sure.
Will they face charges? That's still up in the air. I love the story. An 81-year-old man from Dearborn Heights recently won a pretty big lottery prize, and to celebrate, he's taking his wife on a shopping spree.
This is awesome.
Because he could do anything he wants with this money, right? but he's deciding he's going to spoil his wife. Pretty cool. Peter Kor, he matched the winning Fantasy Five numbers on October 7th, says he plays every single day and didn't really think that he won. He you know, they had to look at the ticket over and over and over, but he won just over $130,000. He already went to claim his prize, and that's what he says he's going to do. He's going to take his wife on a shopping spree and then save whatever's left over.
Hey, live it up, man.
That's cool.
I love it.
That's
I love it.
That's so sweet, yeah.
Listen to this. Fireball Whiskey is creating some special bottles of something called Cryerball.
Okay.
Okay. Which combines Fireball with the actual tears of losing sports fans. Yes. So to do it, they say they're going to go to six big rivalry games this month and literally collect the tears from the losers. And then
how will they be doing this?
Yes. So
like
it says,
swabs?
Okay, they're going to go to these six games this month, three college football games, three NFL games. And they said they're going to have people stationed at the exits where they're going to ask losing fans to donate their tears. And they say every drop they capture will be stored in sealed sterile jars and then safely transported to a secure facility for storing. It says the Fireball might have a little bit saltier taste. It's
gross.
All a gimmick, right? Like, it's just something silly they're doing. It's not going to be available right away. They said the process is going to take, obviously, a couple months. The bottles of Cryerball will be made available in time for next year.
Does it say which games?
I was going to say, begs the question, which stadiums would you go to?
Let's see. Including the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Dallas Cowboys, the Packers versus the Bears. Okay. Auburn Tigers versus the Alabama Clemson Tide. Uh-huh. Those are the only ones I'm seeing.
Yep.
Okay.
There we go.
There's more, but that's all that's listed.
They missed it. White Sox baseball all summer long would have given them like 100 plus chances.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting, right? You mentioned it is election day, right? So if you didn't participate in the early in-person voting or absentee ballots, get out there and vote. So more than 1.2 million Michigan residents took advantage of their early in-person voting. It ended on Sunday, and Sunday was actually the single highest day for that early in-person voting.
That Sunday's when I went.
Was it? Yeah. 189,422 ballots were cast, which is pretty incredible. According to the data, the top five counties where voters cast their ballots for this early voting, Wayne County had the most, Oakland County, Macomb County, Kent County, Genesee County. So.
Cool.
If you didn't do it, go do it today. And I've got some like kind of funny facts. We mentioned this in one of our Dear Johns was about somebody hosting a watch party for the election. I'm like, who would do that? Well, according to a poll, not many, but about 8% of people say they're going to either host or attend a watch party for the election, even though there's a chance that we may not actually have a winner by the end of the night.
Right.
It sounds like a really bad idea.
It really does, doesn't it?
It sounds awful.
45% say they're going to watch it alone.
Sure.
Yep. At home with some comfort food and a drink.
Yeah. Yeah. We know what Jim's going to be doing. Watching his chips, cheering against them. How about that? Can you imagine cheering against your own team?
You reach a certain point, John, where it's the only way out. I remember rooting against Matt Patricia, and I know I'm not the only Lions fan who felt that way.
Seems very you, though.
Well, you and I are very different people. That's Heather with the news. Coming up next, inside the brain of Greg Hargrave, we got a preview of tonight's college football playoff rankings. It's 97.1. Now it's getting real, because tonight we will see what the committee thinks. But more importantly, what does Greg Hargrave think? Who are the top 12 teams in college football?
Well, college football or college basketball season has started, so Greg Palm's brother Ken now has data. We've been working with data for a couple months now.
Right.
And what we saw this past week, not a lot of changes in the top 10 of Greg Palm, but a lot of changes in that lower third and then in a bit of the undercurrent. So a lot of teams that were kind of knocking on the door that fell off. Kansas State, Iowa State, Pitt all suffered losses. Now what happens to that undercurrent? Now we're going to get some two-loss teams that are knocking on the door, namely Alabama, Ole Miss. They're playing each other this week. Ole Miss, we'll talk about them shortly. No two-loss teams have appeared in these rankings yet. So With the losses of Texas A&M and Clemson, we've got some new friends to talk about, so let's get to those guys. Number 12 is SMU. Been wanting to rank these guys for a long time. It's why I don't like teasing who's on the outside, because it makes this revelation, this introduction to them, all more joyous. SMU's got a good resume. They got wins at Louisville, at Duke. They just demolished previously unbeaten Pitt. Their only loss of the season remains to undefeated BYU. So that's a game. If you flip, we're talking about SMU being in the top five and BYU being down in this area.
Do you foresee a BYU-SMU rematch in the Big 12 championship game?
Well, SMU is...
That'd be tough. So, no, I don't.
What is SMU?
ACC. Oh, it's not your fault. This is conference realignment.
I can never figure out where these schools
are. Of course, the team in Dallas plays in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
So bizarre.
Your fault. But hell of a showdown if they do play again at some point, because you have Mormons and the Methodists. It's a tale as old as time.
Holy war.
Getting to me, man. SMU is in the ACC, and they're tracking to be in that conference title game as it stands right now. Number 11, Boise State. Our beautiful boy, Ashton Jeanty, an absolute treasure to watch. Highlight reel runs against heavy boxes. The guys like Michael Myers, he stands there in the backfield, just standing straight up, and strikes fear into the heart of defenses before he slices them. Boise State... a good team outside of just Jeanty. Only loss at Oregon by 3, who's the number one ranked team in the country. They led at the half of that game. And in a measure I value a lot, they gave Washington State their only loss of the season. Wazoo is practically a Mountain West team along with Boise State. They've got that kind of like Notre Dame plays the ACC kind of setup in their schedule.
Is Ashton Jeanty still in the Heisman mix?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Wouldn't count him out just for...
I do like his awareness and ability to hit the hole in a heavy box.
Would not discount him just because he merely had 130 yards or 150 yards.
Yeah.
And to your point, Boise not a pity spot here. Someone from the group of five has to. They've earned their way in.
Number 10, Indiana. Now, look, 6 through 10, the next five teams in these rankings is a tough spot. These teams are very interchangeable rankings-wise. So if you've got a beef with one being ranked higher than another, I get it. This is just how I chose to rank them. They've got Ohio State in 3 weeks in a game that can truly alter how everybody thinks about the Hoosiers, this ranking, and this season as a whole. So we'll see in a few weeks. They got Michigan coming up. Number 9, Tennessee. Home win against Kentucky. They're in the thick of the SEC race. They have Georgia in 2 weeks, so they... might control their own destiny. Now I say might because I honestly can't keep track of the schedules of all these one-loss conference SEC teams and divisionless football. I don't know who's got who left, who has a tiebreaker. Tennessee, if they win out, they will be in good shape, but I don't know what that means exactly for Atlanta. To the middle third, number 8 is Notre Dame off a bye week sitting at 7-1. They got Florida State in primetime on NBC this week. Wins at Texas A&M. Navy was a big win on a neutral field just in terms of margin of victory.
Sure.
The NIU loss will continue to weigh them down. That's why they're still sitting here at number 8. Number 7, Penn State. So this is where I've got the Nittany Lions. Look, another big game loss. James Franklin, top 5, et cetera, et cetera. Why does their fall stop here? Only loss is to a team whose only loss is to the undefeated number 1 team. I do think Penn State has a better loss than Notre Dame, Tennessee, and comparing them to Indiana, let's see Indiana play Ohio State before I declare them necessarily better than Penn State.
Yeah,
we'll find that in a few weeks. Number 6, we've got Texas sitting at 7-1. They're also off a bye week, and I feel like, did we forget about Texas here? They lost to Georgia in that big-time showdown. They had an SEC network game at Vandy, did win by 3 points, and then they had a bye week. And I feel like we all kind of forgot about Texas.
Yeah, they kind of faded away for a little bit out of our consciousness.
Still hanging around with that only loss of the season, and I do feel that their only loss is better than Penn State's only loss. Hint, hint, for the top. Number 5, got two undefeated teams to divvy up and figure out where they rank here. I'm going to go number 5, Miami. They still stay behind BYU. Every team I watch, the Hurricanes, and I think, aha, now they've got them. This is where they get their loss. Well, Cam Ward has three touchdowns later. They have a new touch. They have another two touchdowns runs later, and they run away from Duke by three touchdowns. At Georgia Tech this week, one of the coolest underrated venues in college football. This teeny tiny stadium tucked away in Midtown Atlanta. Stands are right on top of the field. The varsity's across the street. Miami's got the Yellow Jackets coming up on the road. Number four, BYU. Moving up a spot with Penn State knocking down. Two best resume wins are K-State and at the aforementioned SMU. SMU's win over Pitt and their top 12 ranking is bolstering BYU's resume. The biggest difference between them and Miami right now. Number three is Ohio State. We talked about the win they had at Penn State. Hey, look, 1 point, 1 second, one whatever unit of measurement you want to use away from being undefeated and atop of these rankings. Georgia and Ohio State, they've got the same kind of relationship in the standings that Texas and Penn State have. Hey, whichever win or loss looks better, you're going to rank that team higher yep. in both of those pairings.
That's consistent.
So number two is Georgia. 7-1 at Ole Miss this week in the Greg Palm game of the week. Look, I know we don't all believe in Ole Miss. They're kind of the SEC's version of Penn State. Mm-hmm. But
they are.
It's a light schedule for the top 12. Ole Miss would gain a lot from a win. Georgia would lose a lot with a loss. The SEC driver's seat, they'd have two conference losses, making it really tough to get to Atlanta for an SEC championship game, which comes with it bye week in the playoffs mm-hmm. if you win that game. Ole Miss is capable, and outside of three halves of football, Georgia does look vulnerable.
Well, think about this. Beck has thrown two or more picks in three straight games.
Yeah.
They got to go on the road this week to play Ole Miss, and that spread is inside a field goal. Tight, big game, late in the season. Love it.
And staying at the number one spot in Greg Palm, the Oregon Ducks, 9-0 after their win at Michigan. Really impressed with the speed in which they play on a play-to-play basis. Decision makings, the quick cuts, that sort of thing. Not just a run away from your team and not just a tempo team, but playing quick and decisively, play to play to play. And with Clemson's loss to Louisville, Oregon is now the only undefeated team to give two teams their only loss of the season, that being Ohio State and Boise State.
John, anything immediately jump out to you?
I'm interested in the undefeated Indiana being behind Notre Dame.
And with Tennessee.
Well, I kind of understand Tennessee, but that's where I have a discrepancy. The NIL or the Northern Illinois loss to me is that's a really, really bad loss. And Indiana, while they haven't had a whole lot of teams with winning records, they did when they given the opportunities. Not their schedule's not their problem. It kind of is, but it was given to them. They blasted Nebraska. They went on the road. Now, okay, you know, Michigan State, not going to be great wins for them. Down 10, scored 47 unanswered. I would have those flipped.
They've played their Northern Illinois and beaten them.
Right. Handily. And what I would tell you about Indiana is if they had a block M, they would be in the top five. Last year, Michigan didn't play anybody to this point in the season, and they weren't hanging around at 10. They were hanging around much higher.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, I understand because of the record or because of the schedule, but I think I would have those flipped.
And that is our college football rankings. It's 97.1. Fall's here. Don't be one of the millions of Americans that lets their dental benefits go to waste. Give Brightside Dental a call. Get in for an exam or a cleaning. They've got appointments available all month long. November, December, 9 Metro Detroit locations with a new one in Trenton. Give them a call today. 1-800-PAINLESS. BrightsideDental.com. If you're someone who's subconscious about your smile, let Brightside Dental and Orthodontics take care of you. They got braces, Invisalign, and some great deals going on right now. It's Brightside Dental. No judgment, just care. Anything going on today? quite a bit. It's 97.1. Good morning. We just went through some college football playoff rankings. They come out tonight. I did look it up. Michigan last year, with an Indiana-esque schedule, debuted at number 3 in the college football playoff rankings.
Who was 1 and 2 at the time?
Ohio State and Georgia, who were also undefeated. Yeah. I for the case for Indiana tonight is because they didn't play anybody, shouldn't matter, should be a top 5 team, they're undefeated, they beat everybody by 2 touchdowns, but I suspect what will happen is what Greg had, which is they will be more in that 8, 9, 10 range.
So it's related to brand awareness, which was what you're referencing to, if they have a Block M as their logo instead of a
Block
I. A pitchfork, as my wife called it. She asked why they have a pitchfork as their logo. I said it's an I and a U. But I think what it is the unexpectedness of their turnaround, which is related to that brand awareness.
Like, right.
We didn't expect Indiana to be 9-0 because their name's Indiana.
Right.
Last year, we expected Michigan to be a top 5 team.
Well, and they started off higher as well.
But it shouldn't matter for the rankings for college, for the playoff, because they just pick from 0 to... Yeah.
Correct. But when you look at all of the polls, you know, I think the highest they are in one of the polls is like 8.
Yes.
And when you have the preseason polls, now there's work to be done to continue to move up. Indiana's doing the work. They just haven't been able to take that big leap because the other teams in front of them, you know, started higher and either haven't fallen down as much with a loss or that goes to...
Of course.
One of the things that Greg mentioned, it was such a dramatic turnaround from where they were last year to where they are now.
Texter says, BYU, SMU, what decade is this? John in Lake Orion. It is quite the statement, and you'll see it reflected tonight. It's not going to necessarily be exactly how Greg had it, but think about it. You'll have Boise and SMU and Indiana football and Miami football, which hasn't been in this place in a while. BYU, the new college football landscape has leveled things out a little bit. It's propped up a couple programs that otherwise wouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. So, exciting time. Also exciting time, 4 o'clock today, NFL trade deadline. Mm-hmm. John, you asked a question off air about trust. Do you trust Brad Holmes today to bring it home? I do. I think he earns that trust based on the work he's already put in to build this football team. I do trust that they will do something by 4 o'clock today to address the pass rushing spot.
It is 8 hours and 4 minutes. Is what he has.
There's a lot of nervous energy. Have you listened to Carson Anderson the last week? They've specifically taken a lot of phone calls from people who are on edge.
Sure.
Do something.
Well, because when you see Josh Uche get traded, when you see these moments happen, you're like, okay, well, why does everything seem to take so long? And the deadline is not until 4 o'clock today. It could happen at 1 o'clock. Could happen at 3:59. As long as it gets done before the trade deadline, there's anxiety. There's angst of, is Brad Holmes willing to part with his, you know, very valuable draft picks?
Yeah, but he's been willing to give up picks.
4 picks.
Yes.
You know, that he's taking on draft day.
Well, and that made sense when they were in the early embryonic stages, the team building phase, right? I'm willing to move up, move down, give up future, get late, whatever. But they are no longer in the team building phase. They've built a hell of a football team. They are in the go win the Super Bowl phase, something that he's even copped to. He's talked about the expectation being the Super Bowl this year. So, John, I think we find out how serious Brad Holmes is today.
And how are you going to define that? Whether something just simply gets done no matter the cost?
The quality of the move. And if there's none, I mean, it speaks to a lack of seriousness. I trust him. I think he's serious. Yeah. I think he means it. I think he wants them to win a Super Bowl this season. I think he's going to give them ammunition today by 4 o'clock. If he doesn't, I do think like...
That's the best path to victory, as we see it.
Yeah.
Is to add an edge rusher. I think it's very common sense. And I'm not going to sit here and argue against it. The only argument or the only statement that I think you could argue is even without an addition at edge, are they still a Super Bowl team?
Contender, yes.
Yeah. Oh, so you think a trade just assures a Super Bowl?
It increases the percentage you're going to win the Super Bowl. And it's never 100%. No.
Right.
But his job and his seat is to take, let's say.
I'm just trying to sit on the other side of the aisle right now.
But I don't feel like we need to build in an excuse for Brett. I think he's a big boy. He does a big boy job. I expect him to do the job very well today. I look forward to coming on tomorrow and highlighting this player they've added. I mean, it could happen earlier, but for sure by tomorrow, we'll be talking about the player they added. If they don't, though, I'm not going to have it both ways. Like, if they don't, then there is criticism. Because, John, the chance of them winning the Super Bowl, whatever you think it is, let's say it's 20%, 30%,
40%. Well, just take the Super Bowl odds. It will change from today to tomorrow if they make a trade. If they don't, that obviously they'll stay what they are now or maybe even go down.
Depending on what everybody else does. And that's we point out Kansas City, for people who watched last night, DeAndre Hopkins, 2 touchdowns. Kansas City, very serious about chasing a three-peat. I want to see that energy matched by Brad Holmes today.
And Dan Campbell yesterday was talking about, it takes two to tango, but he also talked about the fact that they've been making calls. Brad's been working the phones. We heard about the calls to Vegas. All of these things are happening. I have confidence that he is turning over every stone. And maybe it's just simply the way that we see it, Za'Darius Smith seems obvious. It seems like the home run right now because you're not going to get Garrett or Crosby. But maybe there's another move or another couple moves that he's working on and knows that he has Smith waiting in the wings and just needs to put pen to paper, or he has something else. And I'll give Brad that credit right now, or at least that faith. Credit's probably the wrong term. The faith that maybe there's other magic he's working.
Yeah, I would love to know his relationship with the Cleveland front office. Is this one where, hey, they'll let him know if they get a better offer and give him a chance to match? I think it would be smart for them to create the bidding war, right?
Sure.
And in the meantime, Brad might be playing them a little bit. We want Za'Darius. We're willing to offer you a fifth, hypothetically. You want a fourth. We'll call your bluff. I don't think there's a fourth out there for Za'Darius. We're offering you a fifth. We may throw in a lower pick to help grease the skids a little bit. We don't know their relationship and how close or far apart this deal is today.
But as an example, all right, we're talking about Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah.
32 years old. Another year on the contract.
Mm-hmm.
What if they're talking to Jacksonville?
Sure.
About Trayvon Walker? Would you rather have Trayvon Walker, who's in the same age, same draft class, and has performed over the last few weeks a little bit more like, not going to say number one overall pick, that's been Aiden Hutchinson, but a little bit more productive, and then you've got a chance to put both of those guys on the edge for the foreseeable future? I mean, that's that's an example of...
Just hypothetically, I think, he's probably looking at this in tiers. And he may have guys that are better additions than Za'Darius Smith, and he is trying to find how available those guys are and what it's going to cost. My point is he can't get left holding the bag at the end of the day. If someone else steps up and trades for Za'Darius, Trayvon Walker is too pricey a move, and he doesn't add anybody, that's a problem. So I trust that he's going to navigate all of this, but there's a lot of moving parts.
You don't want to have an E-Rod Scott Harris moment?
I don't. I think he's much better than that. 248-539-9797. We'll take some of your phone calls, ticket text, deadline day. Dan Campbell at 8:02. Get some of his thoughts. Lions keep winning. 2 Grand Slam at 7:25. It's 97.1.